Okay, we're going.
Okay, let's go ahead and begin. The power of relationships. We're just going to talk about relationships, kind of a kind of to cap off what we did with personalities and with love languages. How many of you remember all the DISC? What was D? I. S. Cautious, calculated. Any of the words you can give me is fine. C. S. Excuse me. S was what?
Sensitive.
Uh-huh. What else? Anybody?
Steady.
Good. Okay. Compliance. Mm-hmm. Compliance. Is, let's just do it this way, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. Okay. And the love languages? What do we have?
All at one time. Words of touch. Words of affirmation.
Gifts.
And
receiving gifts.
Acts of service.
Awesome. Okay. Cool. So now we're going to talk about relationships. And I like this lesson. Not that I wrote it or anything. Actually, it's just a compilation of a lot of people's stuff. But the reason I really like this is because young people go through difficulties at times with relationships. And let me give you a little secret. When you get older, sometimes you go through a little difficult times with relationships too. People are people, okay? It doesn't matter how old, you know, that's how it works. But let's talk about relationships here. First of all, definition for your test, I mean for your information. The state of being related or interrelated. Just kidding. The relation, connecting or binding participants in a relationship such as kinship, okay? The specific instance or type of kinship. Then a state of affairs existing between those having relations or dealing. And then a romantic or passionate attachment. And that is just one of the many aspects of relationship. You're going to deal with relationships the rest of your life unless you choose to be a hermit and go hide out somewhere until you die, which is probably unlikely. You like that idea. But we need to learn how to deal with people. And there's some secrets that if we'll get those down, it'll go a long way to help us. Secrets that I promise you many people have never learned. And some of us will learn again and again and again. So Carl Jung, what did he do in a prior lesson?
Personality.
He's the one that came up, right. He's the one that identified the four basic types of personality. And good guy, good name, all that stuff. He said the meeting of two personalities is like the contact of two chemical substances. If there's any reaction, both are transformed. So somebody's giving something, somebody's giving something. You're changed by the meeting of two personalities, okay? They may forget what you said. This is a little statement to tuck away in the back of your mind. They may forget what you said to them, but they'll never forget how they felt. That is so true. When you get to talking about somebody or whatever, it's like you may not remember anything they said, but you remember how they made you feel. And if it's somebody that made you feel important, that took time to listen to you, it's funny how we value people like that. I look in my past, and I had an uncle that was the most incredible individual. I've never met a man quite like him. So kind, so outgoing. But every time I would call him, every time I would talk with him, it's like his world stood still to find out what was happening in my world. And this was a very important individual, very well known all over the world, just a most incredible guy. And yet it's like he totally took time and focused on me. So anyhow, something to think about. There's some there's something we can learn from everybody. And this is just really a key statement. They'll never forget how you made them feel. Okay. Assumptions are the termites of relationships. Another little key to tuck away. Okay. You just assume and assume and assume. Those little assumptions begin to eat away at a good relationship. And eventually, something kind of caves. It's like if they've been eating around the bathroom, then all of a sudden the floor is going to sink, right? And the relationship is going to reveal that we've just been assuming a lot of things. So how do we take care of assumption? Ask, tell, interact, communicate, right? Good. Okay. Proverbs 13:20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. So what he's saying basically is you're going to be influenced. And he that walks with fools he's really asking for trouble. So tell me, who do you run with? Who are your friends? What are they like? And if you tell me, then I'll kind of tell you a little bit about what you can look forward to in a little time. We are influenced, or we're doing the influencing, and mostly we're being influenced. So if there's somebody that would make you a little uncomfortable, if you were going to become a lot more like them instead of them like you, then you probably want to rethink the relationship, okay? Just a little food for thought here. The CEV says it this way, wise friends make you wise, but you hurt yourself by going around with fools. Why do you think that happens? Wise men make you wise. Why is it that people can have such an influence on you? Any ideas? The attachment that you have is powerful. Anybody else? What makes us wise if we walk with wise men, besides maybe the attachment? The influence that they exude. Okay. Here's one thing. I mean, there's several things we could talk about, but one thing for sure is when you're close to somebody, you see how they react in situations. So you see things that happen to them that would make a normal person mad, and you see how they just kind of shake it off and laugh, and they can get on with life. That's going to impact you. That's going to really impact you. It's like, whoa, you know, last time I lost my temper, it was pretty stupid compared to this. I think I need to shore some things up. Or maybe it's another situation, you see how they react. So can I say this? Don't just jump in and get married to somebody when the time comes. You want to see them in a lot of situations. You want to see how they react to things. You want to see how what makes them tick. You want to see, even before you get into some kind of a relationship, that's why it's good. And this is my two cents for the day, okay? That's why it's really good, instead of just like finding somebody and dating, it's really good to do the group thing, because you kind of may change your mind after a little bit and thank God that you never really got into some kind of a relationship here, because I had no idea they treated their parents like that. And if he treats his mom like that, I know he's going to treat me the same way. I don't care what he does right now. Okay? Just, you start putting two and two together, right? When we start seeing how people respond. Well, that works in a positive way, too. With the people that walk with wise people, they're learning. It's like we may not have it all down, but if we'll choose the right kind of friends, it will lead us in the right direction. One of the things that, if a parent cares at all, and you guys are all going to understand this someday soon, one of the things that will grip your heart really fast is when you realize your kid, your daughter, your son is starting to chum with somebody that's not a good influence on them. And then it's like, oh boy, you know, how do we deal with this? And it's good to have some frank, open talks. And Anyway, that's just my 2 cents worth for the future. But you want to be able to see how people react and then respond. Is this how I want to be? Is this the person I want influencing my life? Okay, any comments? All right, then we go to Ephesians. Chapter 4, verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. And it says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. So really, and this is just like the heartbeat of God that comes through Paul. It's like, man, church, I want you to get together. I want you to get along together. We got something in our heart against somebody else, don't take communion. If that happens, you want your heart clean. You want your heart right. There should be a little fear of God in us whenever we get something against somebody in the church. Okay, don't let that happen. God really wants a harmony and a unity. I don't care if it's young people, if it's old people. None of us have an excuse to have bitterness in our hearts against anybody. This is really, really, really critical. And if you find yourself talking negative about people, or you can say damaging things, you need to bite your tongue, slap yourself in the face, do something. Get out of that. That's a negative. It is a trap that you can go into. And you can become a negative person and end up becoming a bitter person later. And you're going to be the influence that people won't want to be around. It's like, why can't I keep my friends? Okay. Anyhow, things to think about. What my point is, God obviously wants there to be a harmony and a unity. That's what he wants among his people. Okay, learning objectives. This is our idea today. We want to be able to define relationships. We want to be able to provide a biblical example of a dangerous relationship. Okay, we want to give examples of the influence of a true friend. And we want to understand God's idea of an exponential relationship. Exponential relationship. That's just kind of a dumb term I made up. But the concept is, I'll explain it to you, okay? So anyhow, there's a lot of kids that have literally destroyed their lives because of choosing the wrong influences. And I don't want any of you five to do that. Okay, there's no reason. If you'll think it through beforehand and you be careful how you choose your friends, you'll never be in the position where somebody's going to have to say, yeah, they got in with the wrong crowd. And that's how it all started. And there's no reason for that. We want to be proactive. And the way we can be proactive is choose our friends carefully. We want to choose who we want to be around. Okay. Sometimes it's kind of hard to back off a little bit when you're in the midst of it and see the forest, you know, instead of just the trees right in front of you. But it's really good to take a little breather and think. Kind of write your friends down on a piece of paper in your mind. And are any of these people that I run with pulling me down? Are they a positive influence in my life? Are they a negative influence? Okay, so let's go right back to the beginning. Not your beginning, but let's go to the beginning of humanity. Why were humans created? Is it because God had a vendetta and he wanted to kill people and send them to hell? Why did God create humanity? Somebody help me. Huh? He wanted worship. Uh-huh. He wanted relationship. That's all part and parcel, isn't it? Worship and relationship. It's all part of the same thing. He desired that so bad that he created man to fulfill that purpose. So from the beginning, it was all about relationship. In Genesis 3, this kind of reveals how God felt, okay? They heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden. To me, that verse says a lot. They just sinned. They're hiding. But this, apparently, it seems to have happened on a consistent basis. Because it wasn't the first time, I don't think, that they heard the voice of the Lord walking. I think they had communion with God. I think he came and spoke with them and they talked. But now everything's different because of sin. Okay? They heard his voice walking, and they hid themselves from the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Guilt will do that. Okay? So what's the whole point? They broke the most beautiful relationship. God wanted that with them, and they literally broke it. Okay. 2 Corinthians 6, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? It's all about relationship, right? You're the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, walk in them, I'll be their God, and they'll be my people. And then Deuteronomy says this, and this is what I want to bring out when I talk about that exponential relationship, okay? Notice what happens here. And even though they've sinned, God chooses a people. He chooses Abraham, and he raises up a nation in Egypt and brings them out, delivers them and blesses them and helps them and constantly provides for them. And he's there for them constantly as a pillar of cloud by night, by day, and a fire by night, right? He proves his love for them. Okay, and we still find that they're a challenge to deal with. Okay. He said they are, this is Moses singing this, believe it or not, instead of just speaking. And they had, every time the tune went through their mind, they had to remember, they are a nation void of counsel. Neither is there any understanding. And they had to sing that. Can you imagine? Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this. That they would consider their latter end. Isn't that crazy? They heard this and they had to just kind of sit and think. We really have not handled our relationship with our God like we should have. This is how God wanted that relationship to go. Okay, here's the thing. You draw close to God, there's some benefits that you're going to get out of that relationship. And it's not just little benefits. Okay? And this is what God is saying. If they would have only understood that if they would have just left the idolatry or whatever it is that was pulling at them, left it alone and come serve me with all their heart, how I would have made one chase 1,000 and I'd have made two chase 10,000. What's he saying? It would be supernatural stuff that they'd be able to do. Why? Because they're hooked up with me. They're close to me. Now, has God changed at all? He's still the same God, isn't he? Do you think he still feels the same way about his people? There's so many things that attract our attention, but the more we can push out the influence of this world and draw closer to God, we're going to find that that relationship bears exponential benefits. Okay? And God, what's the point? It's like, what you could never do, I'm going to touch you and you're going to be able to do incredible things. And I'm going to protect you in an incredible way. I'm going to go before you. A lot of benefits come from just drawing close to God. Draw nigh to me and I will draw nigh to you. Okay? That's his concept. Okay, so an exponential relationship. Now, here's three things that I find in this, okay? First of all, God put his basic desire in us when we were made in his image. And that was a desire for a right relationship, a relationship with him. Okay, did somebody come in and I missed them? Sorry, guys. There it is. There's potential for significant mutual benefit in a relationship. And the benefits are exponential. Just an example. You alone doing everything you can do, it's not half of what you could do if you were married and both of you are working. Okay, there's synergy when people get together and they're in harmony. Your well-being takes a leap forward. There's a lot of things that are blessed because of your unity. It's like this synergy. You don't just, when people get together in harmony, you don't just measure it and how much horsepower each one can put out. Remember, Brother Booker gave that example about the horses. One horse can do a certain amount of pounds or pull a certain amount of pounds, and this other horse could pull this many pounds, but when you put them together, it like doubles. It's just because you know somebody else is pulling with you, okay? And a relationship, a good relationship is like that. And there's like synergy involved. And so the potential of hooking up with the right people is huge, okay? Number three, it takes wisdom to properly value and maintain relationships. Now, I will say I've seen people throw away in a stupid fashion, throw away a beautiful relationship just because they did not value what they had. And then I've seen them later as they wept and realized how dumb they were to not treat that individual like they should have. I wish I'd never had those experiences, but they've happened. And people wake up too late. That's just the bottom line. It's just good to value. Hey, Seth, what if your mom died tomorrow? Brianna, what if your dad didn't make it home from work? You know, sometimes it takes this type of a thing to wake some people up and say, oh man, I didn't even know how good they were to me, how much I love them, how much I appreciate it. I never told them. You know, we can take people for granted. And if it's a good relationship, we don't want to do that. We want to appreciate them while we can. It's like Sister Sparks used to say, don't send me flowers at the funeral, you know. I want them now. Don't wait till I'm gone to talk nice about me. Talk about me now. I may want to hear it, you know. It's funny, but she was saying it in fun, but it's true. We need to appreciate every relationship. I promise you, if I would have known that at 19 years old my dad would die, my 15 and 16 and 17 and 18 years old would have been a whole lot different. I'd have been picking his brain. I'd have been asking him things. I'd have been trying to get everything I could. But you know, it was like, boom, and he was gone. And all of a sudden, it was like a shocker. We never expected it. It happened just like that. Thank the Lord I had my mom longer. I was able to appreciate her, you know, but you just don't know. Appreciate the friendships that you have, good friendships, people that are meaningful to you, people that are adding to your life. Let them know how much you appreciate it. Okay, so with family, we could talk about it more, but we won't. Therefore, shall a man leave his father and mother, they shall cleave unto his wife, they too shall become one flesh. This is the building block. Okay, these are the building blocks of society. It's family. It's the home. I don't care what people say these days. The home is very important. And a normal home is very important. And it's important for kids to feel loved. And that's the way God designed it. It was a relationship was going to be the birthing place for a new generation. They're gonna come where there's harmony, and that's really the desire of God. Okay, and it's a place of shelter in a storm. You know what? When work goes bad and you've had a tough day and things are going against you, being able to come home and talk to the person that you love the most, or being able to come home to where there's a safe environment, means everything. And that's really what a home should be. And if your home wasn't that way, or isn't that way, you can change that with your home when you become the head of your house. Okay? That's exactly what a home should be. It should be a shelter. Okay. So there's one sad truth in life I've found while journeying east and west. The only folks we really wound are those we love the best. We flatter those we scarcely know. We please the fleeting guest and deal full many a thoughtless blow to those we love the best. It's so easy to take them for granted. And I've watched kids take parents for granted while the parents are serving the kids. It's like you're not ironing that right. This food tastes terrible. You get what I'm saying? It's like, how can we do that? Wake up, slap, slap. This person loves us. They've given their life that we'd be alive, just about, you know? They've blessed us constantly. So don't lose concept of that. Your most important relationships are not outside your home. They're right there inside your home. Appreciate them. Let them know you appreciate them. Okay, so let's talk about relationships with the outside. And that's what we really need to be careful about. And I'm just going to hit this verse of scripture here. They that use this world is not abusing it. Okay? They that use this world is not abusing it. We have to work, in other words. We have to be a part of the world. We have to go shop. We rub shoulders with people, et cetera, et cetera. But that's not our intimate world. Okay? Our world should be our home. It should be the people of God. It should be part of what we're living for to go to eternity with. Okay? And here's just in passing. We're going to have relationships inside the church. We're going to have relationships outside the church. We need to have wisdom in how we deal with those. Okay? Typically, outside the church, they don't have the same values. They don't love God like you do. They don't appreciate the word of God like you do. They're not hungry to please God like you are. And we have to be careful with our proximity. Okay? We can be friendly, et cetera, but being chummy with people outside the church is kind of an open door for some trouble. And those friendships may end up pulling us out. And that's why it's good to have the right kind of friends that are where they need to be to help you stay where you need to be. Does that make sense? Uh-oh, it doesn't make sense? Let me repeat it. Does it make sense?
Yes, sir.
I thought so. Okay, successful relationships don't just all of a sudden happen, okay? It's not how it works, okay? They don't happen without somebody becoming vulnerable and sharing thoughts and feelings, communicating. This is how relationships are built. People don't fall into incredible relationships. They build incredible relationships. And you build them with communication. And you build them with going through things together. Okay? These are just kind of nuts and bolts of relationships. They're not built on a dream of changing somebody else. God have mercy. If you marry somebody, Brianna, number one, before you ever get involved with anybody, you come and ask me, okay? Is that a deal? Deal?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me give my 2 cents worth. And hopefully he's a guy who knows how to work and treats his mother right. Okay, anyhow, if you go into a situation, I hope you guys are all listening to me. This can save you some heartache. If you go into a situation to marry somebody and there are some issues about that individual and you're thinking to yourself, I know, but I think I can change that. You're on drugs or something's wrong. Don't expect it. If there's issues that are going to bother you, steer clear. Okay? Your sweetness is not going to change that individual. Okay? Your good looks is not going to change that individual. And they may cover or mask a few things for a little while, but after a while, when the honeymoon's over, I promise you, their default mode is going to be back in play again. Okay? You guys, if that ever happens, remember me. Okay? Come to me and tell me thanks. I've seen people that had a dream. He's so good looking. I know he treats me like a jerk sometimes, but you know what? I think that'll change. Yeah, right. Don't bank on it. Okay? Sure, God can do wonderful things, but why don't you wait until God tells you or something, okay? Otherwise, go looking somewhere else. Yeah. Okay, building a relationship. On that basis, we'll plant the seeds of its destruction. You know why? It's because you're going to end up enabling that kind of behavior, trying to keep the marriage together, et cetera, et cetera. We don't have time to go into all that. It's something to think about there. Okay, Proverbs 13 says, only by what?
Pride.
Comes contention. only by pride. Do you think we can be tempted with pride? Okay. Do you think the devil can tempt us with pride? Have you ever thought about how stupid the devil is? When there was nobody to tempt him with pride, and yet it still got in his heart. Actually, that should scare us to death. Because if he, without a tempter, could fall to pride, how susceptible are we? Okay. Now, when we're talking about relationships, only by pride comes contention. If there's fussing and fighting, there's a pride issue. And it may be on both sides. It may be on the loudest voice the most, you know, who knows? Okay, but that's really something to consider, okay? So what, knowing this, what do you think the greatest oil in the engine of a relationship would be?
Humility.
Humility, yeah. I don't have to take that, but I will take that because I value this relationship. And we're going to get through this stuff, okay? Okay, seek to get to the source of contention rather than react. And this is just, again, these are little nuggets, little truths that I'm just going to throw out as we go through, okay? But I want you to think about them, okay? Why are we fussing? What started this? Why am I feeling like this? Why am I reacting like this? Be big enough to be introspective. Don't always point the finger and blame them, okay? But what is it about? What's happening to cause this problem here, okay? And is it pride? And then maybe I need to humble myself quick here, okay? Whenever you're in conflict with someone, there's one factor that can make the difference between damaging your relationship and deepening your relationship. Those are the two ends of the spectrum. That factor is attitude. It's your attitude about it. Successful relationship. Self-control is going to bless you. Okay. Getting angry doesn't solve anything. Have you ever found anger to solve anything? Anybody? Some kind of an experience you'd like to share with us? Okay, it really doesn't. It just makes things worse, doesn't it? So we need to learn how to calm down, communicate clearly and decently. Now let me buzz through a few other things here. What's the golden rule? That's the bottom line, right? Huge, okay? Things do have a way of coming back home. So if we treat curtly, it's going to come back, etc. Okay? Learn the difference between an understanding, and agreeing. This is really important. When you're in a relationship, I'm not talking about necessarily a boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, any relationship. You know, when people disagree or have a problem with you or whatever, it's one thing. I mean, they may be off the beam, okay, clearly. And you don't have to agree with them. But it's important that you understand them and you understand where they're coming from. And if they know that you care enough to listen to them and try to figure out why they're feeling the way they're feeling, most of your battle's over. Okay? Because they're not facing confrontation. Now they're facing somebody that really is trying to understand them. It really, really helps. Okay? It's huge. You don't have to necessarily agree, but you do need to understand where they're coming from, and you need to communicate to get there. Okay? Learn the art of apologizing. And all I'll just say with this is make it sincere. Okay? Insincerity only makes things worse. Be sincere when you really do apologize. Look them in the eye and explain what happened and etc. Okay? And this sharing feelings versus arguing feelings, you know, there's some things you just never want to get into. If there's a relationship, there's a struggle, don't be pointing fingers. Be careful on using the personal pronouns. Be careful on the you, and the always. And the you always, when they're together, they're devastating, okay? Or another one that's even almost as bad is you never, okay? Anytime we have to use superlatives, we're probably not being totally honest when it comes to interactions that are a little heated. Okay, let's just be frank and earnest here. You be frank and I'll be earnest, okay? Okay, we can communicate honestly without trying to load them down with guilt, okay, etc. Okay, establish relationship principles to live by, and then live by those relationships that you, or those principles that you establish. Okay, can I just throw one at you here? When we have a relationship with someone, a friendship, whatever, not everybody likes to be at the same distance. You ever talk with people that come right up into your face and talk? And then you take a step back kind of nicely, and they take a step forward. It's like you take two steps back, and they take two steps forward. And it's like they got to have all your attention, and they got to be right in your face. And I've watched that happen, and I've had that happen to me. And it's like, oh, my word, this is so uncomfortable. And what does it make you want to do, honestly? You know, you just don't want to be around that. Okay? Now, get married and then have that problem. Okay? that's not exactly where I'm going with this, but where I am going is sometimes when relationship gets a little shaky, and this can be friends, this can be after you get married, so tuck it away and think about it. Okay? I've seen this happen many times in my few years here. And that's when a husband starts distancing himself a little bit. I've watched many times where the wife starts getting closer. It's like almost the result of a panic. I don't want to lose him. I've seen it happen with boyfriends and girlfriends. It's like, man, he just needs a little space to breathe. And all of a sudden, you're right there. It's like, where were you last night? Why didn't you call me or text me? What's going on? You know, is everything okay? And so what happens is like this seesaw has a nice balance to it, right? And you're going up and down so smooth and everything's cool, except for when one person gets a little closer and the other one kind of naturally backs away, what's going to happen? The whole thing goes off balance and somebody's going to get dumped, you know? Somebody's going to go down and hit the ground, okay? Typically, that's, you ever been on one of these things? Okay, have they outlawed them yet? Okay, we used to have a lot of fun. We could make them like a catapult. We did a lot of fun stuff. Okay, I think I set my brother up in the air pretty high on one of those things one time. But you try to balance out. So anyhow, this concept is this, okay? If somebody in the relationship that you and a friend, whatever, if they are backing away a little bit, instead of running up close and trying to not let them go, probably the best thing you could do is give them a little distance and back away just to touch yourself and keep the relationship in balance. Okay? You write that down in your little black book. You're not going to need it this week, but you might need it in a couple of years. Okay? You just never know. And that's so important. Why do people violate this? Insecurity. The fear of rejection. Insecure about what's going to happen if I get dumped in this relationship. This is my best friend. Does that make sense? So we want to keep our relationships in balance. I said that because that's just an example of a principle to live by. That is, it's just, if we have a friendship, that's great. You start getting, we can get close. We can talk about things. That's awesome. But when you start backing away, I'm not going to chase you down and force you into my little circle. You know? Okay. Anyhow, just a principle. Don't smother each other. No one can grow in the shade. Good quote, isn't it? Okay? Amnon had a friend, and we only have 10 minutes, and I want to take this, okay? Amnon is David's son. You remember the story, everybody? No? Yes? Amnon, David had a bunch of kids, okay? all kinds of kids, different wives, okay? He had a bunch of wives, and that there's just a lot of complications. Okay, just marry one wife. You guys got that down? Okay, so anyhow, one of these boys falls in love with Tamar, who happens to be Absalom's sister, right? And so the way he goes about it is all wrong. He could have asked David. They could have gotten married. He could have had her as a, that it's, it wasn't the same situation as it is now. Okay. They were step brother and sister. It could have happened. Okay. But his lust is what was driving him. And he wanted her so bad. He didn't really want to marry her. He just wanted her. Okay. And so the story, the plot thickens. When the Bible says this, Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab. Okay, he's a cousin. It's his friend. Okay, he's got an issue, and he's ready to commit sin. He's ready not just to ruin his own life, he's ready to ruin somebody else's life. And a friend comes along, and he says, let me show you how to do it. And you can feign being sick and you can, you know, work this out. That's not the kind of friend Amnon needed. Okay, what would have happened if Amnon would have said, no, you're not going to do that. You know what's going to happen? You're going to end up getting killed. You don't mess around like that. Absalom is too vengeful. You know, it's just not even worth it. Why do you want to mess your life up like that? So if you got a friend that's going to help you do what's wrong, you need to reevaluate fast. It's like, man, if they don't care any more than that about me, let's dump them. You need somebody that cares enough about you to look you in the face and say, you know what? You weren't here Sunday, and you weren't here the Sunday before that. Is everything okay? Not where you've been going. I'll go with you. Right? Are we okay with this? Everybody happy? Okay. Friendships is so, so important. Okay. We'll leave him. There's this proverb that we need to read. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. That's what he's talking about. A friend that loves you enough, that cares about you enough to be very honest with you. Okay. Your future is no greater than your friends, and you choose your own. Now let's look at some characteristics of a true friend. He hates evil. I mean, this is somebody you want for a friend, okay? He hates evil. Their spirit's under control. They'll protect you. They'll keep you from stuff. They fear God. They're wise. They love you no matter what, okay? Some really good things here. They're honest with you, even about your sin. They give you good counsel. When you leave them, you feel like you're a better person. Instead of, you feel like, I just got myself all dirty and I need to go repent. That's not the kind of friend you want. You want somebody that like this is going to leave you feeling good. Okay? Matthew 22, when the Pharisees had heard that he put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. One of them tempted Jesus, and he said, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus says, and this is so interesting, the greatest commandment is a commandment about what? Relationships. The greatest commandment. What are the two relationships? With God and with men. Exactly. You need to keep a right relationship with God, love Him with all your heart, with all your soul, your mind, your strength, and you got to keep a good relationship with your neighbor, okay, with those that are around you. Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth, right? You're the salt of the earth. If the salt loses its savor, what good is it, okay? And then He said, you're the light of the world. So what is He saying with salt and light? What's His whole concept here? No man can, he said, you're the, a city that's set on a hill can't be hid, okay? So it's all about influence. Salt influences the meat, okay? And it gives it a good taste. And light sheds light so people can see. And that's what God wants us to be in the world. Not you being influenced by everybody else and the darkness, Okay, but you influencing the rest and putting a good taste in their mouth. Okay, that's what he's after. Okay, and then moving to review, and we'll get done. See, before 7. Aren't we proud of ourselves? Okay, so what's relationship? Okay. Okay. And then what's the qualities of a true friend? Huh? Good. Loves God. Wise. Good. Excellent. Huh? Protect you. Right. Excellent. Okay. What's exponential relationship? It's the synergy. Okay, the exponential relationship is where God said, you draw close to me, and one of you is going to put 1,000 to flight, two of you are going to put 10,000 to flight. In other words, there's benefits from you being close to me that's a lot greater than what you would ordinarily achieve. And that's my whole concept with that verse and that setting. And it may be a touch of a stretch, but I think the concept is still there. Somewhat intact, and that is this. When we draw close to him, there's a whole lot more that he can do with us and for us than when we follow him at a distance. Okay? So, the concept then becomes with us and our friendships, when we have a really good relationship with our wife, husband, whatever, there are blessings and benefits that come out of that relationship. When you fear God and your best buddy loves God, you know what's going to happen? You guys are probably going to end up doing some prayer meetings together once in a while. You're probably going to maybe even do some witnessing together. You're probably going to get involved in things in the church together. Okay, relationships that are centered around God are going to see a whole lot more of the blessing of God. Does that make sense? Okay, that's my idea with the exponential relationship. Okay, so this is what I threw in for homework. I would just like to see you explain this situation in your own words. Just explain. Maybe you've got a friendship that you could, or maybe you've seen this happen with friends where somebody kind of withdrew and somebody else started getting closer and closer on the seesaw and the whole thing tipped over the other side. And it made a big mess, okay? Anyhow, I want you to put that in your own words somehow. Okay? And then let me do this real fast. I tack this on. I think these are really good. Number one, okay, key habits. Become a great listener. Learn how to listen. Keep your eyes on them, not on your phone. I'm not giving you a bad time about being on your phone. If you're sitting down to a situation where you're talking with somebody and they're trying to bare their heart and you're on your phone, you know what that says? I don't give a rip about what you're saying. It's best to just force yourself to put it in your pocket, okay? And if they're talking, especially if they're talking about something meaningful, don't be so rude as to mess around and give them part of your attention. Oh, I'm listening to you. I can hear everything you're saying. Yeah, but what your body language is saying is I really don't care. And for some personalities, as we studied before, that really, really hurts. Okay, ask the right questions. You're going to find this out. As you get a little older, people can lie. And some people in the church can actually do it. Like you ask them how it's going and they say it's fine. And you know it's not fine, okay? When you start talking to somebody, be aware of body language as well. Because this happens. People will say one thing with their mouth, and their body language is saying the exact opposite. And they're crying inside. And if you're sensitive, if you can be sensitive to what's going on, I wish we had more time to talk about it. Okay, pay attention to the whole person, which goes along to this exact thing I just said. Remember things that are important to others. Okay, you're not tested on this. Don't worry. Okay? Be consistent and manage your emotions. Be open and share when the time is right. And then last, be genuine, confident, humble, trustworthy, positive, fun. Just be the kind of person people want to be around. Okay. That's it. Preston?
All right. Thank you. you very much. The email went out to you guys, so you guys can look at your email and complete the test from there. And the handout is also attached. Any questions?
Next week, is it with Pastor
Booker
or is it with
Brother Adam? Next week is with Brother Adam again. Okay. Then the third week is with, for church government, is with Pastor Booker.
Any questions?
Yes, I believe so. So next week, I know Brother Adam mentioned to me that he told you guys not to do the quiz because he didn't quite finish. Mm-hmm. So next week, there will be two quizzes. I don't know exactly how he's going to do that, but so anyways, yeah. So that's why, if you were wondering about a quiz, I don't know if all of you were here when he talked about it. If you're wondering why his email didn't go out, that's why. So we'll see what happens next week. So come prepared for that. If you have your notes from last week, I would definitely bring them.
Thank you guys. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you.